come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, till the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations combined, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, till the whole earth with to thee, O Israel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys want to do offering? I was just so much into that mode of, let's go on with the next song here. Sometimes I get distracted by just being in the moment. Amen? Amen? Let's pray as we give that opportunity. Some of you have already given. I saw the offering plates already got some giving there. And some have already done so online. And thank you for that. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to bless the Lord. And so let's pray for those of you who still haven't had that opportunity yet to give, that you may find God's blessing in this season. Lord, thank you for the blessing it is to receive such great, wondrous joy and peace and hope that comes from you. Thank you for this time of the year where we can focus upon your coming as Emmanuel. You are God with us. You are not far away. You are not a distant God, but you are here within us. You are here around us. And it is such a joy to be able to give and to bless you, Lord, and to see the furtherance of your kingdom through the offerings that are now before us. And so I pray, Lord God, for a blessing on this time of giving. Bless everyone that's able to give. May it just go to ministering to others, Lord. We just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we continue to worship the Lord, you're welcome to give in the offering plates or online.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born.
Song on high, the virgin sings.
only one who overcame the grave. There's only one who's worthy of all praise. And in his hands, the keys of death and hell. And in his name, a power that can heal. And by his blood, our sins are washed away. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Wonderful Counselor.
That we have the privilege to pray, sing, and celebrate your name. It's through you that we are able to come to the Father. And it's at your name that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess your Lord. What a joy and a privilege it is to confess it now freely. Willfully, intentionally. You are Lord. You are God. You are God with us. You are Emmanuel. Thank you for hearing our songs of prayerful intent. We pray that you have been glorified today, that you have been able to receive not songs with notes and instruments, but songs that ring from the soul, that ring from the hearts of your children. We love you, and we're so thankful for the privilege it is to sing and to praise your holy name. We ask, Lord God, that your anointing will be upon us on this special day as we continue to focus upon you and your word and have opportunity to just celebrate who you are in our lives. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated.
Try that. Hey, all right. It's what I get for letting somebody else use this little box. Well, welcome to our service today. I pray that you are just sensing the love of God and His Holy Spirit. And it's good to see some friends, family, I should say, that are visiting from far away, down where it hardly snows at all anymore. Is that right? Or do you guys get snow once in a while? Little bits. Well, we've got plenty if you want to take some with you. I mean, I'll be willing to share. I love the snow, and so I hope that you are enjoying it. I made a post this last week. It's like everybody in the upper Midwest is going crazy over, oh my goodness, we have snow. And granted, there's been some pretty big drifts. You know, let's give them that. But seriously, it's winter, people. Wintery things happen. And it's like, I don't know. I thought it'd be more newsworthy to me if somebody posted in the upper Midwest where they didn't have snow. You know, that would be news right there. But anyway, welcome to the service, and I pray that you are enjoying the time that you have already. And for those of you who are online, maybe you're snowed in, I don't know, but hopefully you enjoy our time together. I'm going to go over a few announcements real quickly before we get moving on to the message that God's prepared us four. It is, let's see, there is a youth meeting today at 4:30, so don't miss out on that, 4:30 at the church. Make sure you're coming for that, all the young people. This is your last chance to put in a ballot for the nominating of a deacon position that will be opening up. Members are the ones that have that privilege. Make sure you sign the ballot, otherwise it's null and void. And we will have that to discuss at our next board meeting, which is Tuesday night. And we will go through those names, and then from there it goes to a committee who will make phone calls to find out if those that are gone over are willing to actually let their name stand. So that's the process. And then at the end of January, we'll have our annual business meeting where we will actually vote on those names as presented. Christmas Day service is next Sunday. It's one of those unusual things where we actually have Christmas on a Sunday. And I still remember, it's been months ago, that somebody asked me, are you going to have service on Christmas Day? And I'm like, well, it's Sunday, isn't it? To me, it seemed like a no-brainer. But apparently, there are churches that aren't having church on Sunday because it's Christmas Day. And I guess that's their privilege. They have a Christmas Eve thing, which we have the tendency to not do the Christmas Eve traditionally. So anyway, we will have a service next Sunday, but there will not be Sunday school. And so come prepared for the service at 10. And then the following week, just for your own knowledge, we are not having Sunday school the following week. And that's for all of you late nighters that want to bring in the new year. You can stay up till midnight and do your fireworks and your celebrations. That'll be fun. And then we'll have our service at 10 o'clock. How many remember, I want to say it's 4 years ago now, maybe close to five, it got down to 37 below actual temperature at the New Year's Eve party. How many remember that? Sean Daniel and I went outside to light some fireworks, and I think maybe Nathan might have helped as well. And I still remember we had a hard time getting the flame to stay flame because it was so cold. The flame was like really tiny, and we're holding it there, and we're freezing. And then we're like, finally we get that thing lit. And it's like, yeah, here it goes. It goes, I mean, it was like, what? That's it. It was so cold, the fireworks didn't even cooperate. It was pretty bad. And after freezing our fingers off, we decided that's enough of that, so we came inside. But anyway, I heard somebody say just this morning, Friday is supposed to get down to 32 below, so we have that to look forward to. Yeah, okay, anyway, we'll move on. So the New Year's Eve service will be just 10 o'clock service. Real Gals meeting the 3rd. Youth Common Ground is the 4th, and so there you go. That's your announcements. We good? All right, I'm excited. I'm excited to share a cool message. I'm going to dismiss the kids. Are there kids for the kids' church today? All right, we have a few. You are welcome to go, kiddos, down to your kids' church meeting and enjoy your time learning about the Lord. And we're going to be turning to John, the book of John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. This thing keeps wanting to bow out on me. I don't know. Am I going to mess with you guys if I play with this a little bit? John chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 is where I'm going to start. And then I'm also going to look at Luke chapter 1. If you're following along with the app, you don't even have to look up the verses. You just push on that scripture text. It comes up for you. You also have your bulletin to follow along as well with just a few notes anyway. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I thought we're getting ready for Christmas. Well, I think every Christmas should have a story told about John. That's my opinion. And so if you've heard some of what I say before, that's intentional. I think we need to remember the story of John the Baptist. There was a man his name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Okay, now jump ahead. Well, I guess technically it's behind. Jump back to Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and let's read the account of the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. The other miracle baby is the title. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. I'm getting a lot of ringing on this thing. I'm going to go ahead and keep reading so that can get adjusted. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar of incense. Can you imagine this? I mean, you have to put this into context of understanding. There's been about 400 years of time that has gone by without any divine intervention of God. As far as a an appearance of an angel or a word of prophecy. Now, we have the stories of the Maccabeans, and I did a lesson on that to talk about how God was still present and there were things that happened that were supernatural for sure. But as far as the scripture is being told in the writings of God's word, this was a long period of time without God speaking in a divine way to the people through an angel or the prophets. And so you have this angel that shows up in the temple. That's pretty significant. Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And I think we can all understand, yeah, of course, you're going to be afraid. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Isn't it funny how they always say that? It's like, "Boo!" And it's like, "Ah, don't be afraid." "Well, then stop it. You know, why did you jump out at me like that? I mean, like, you're glowing, dude." I don't know. Maybe they weren't glowing. I don't. I just envision this. "Well, of course I'm afraid." "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." So what do you think he's been praying? "Lord, we need a child. My wife is barren. It's going to take a miracle." So he says, "Your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." That's breaking tradition, by the way. Traditionally, his name should have been the name of the father. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." This is so awesome. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." This is prophecy. This is significant. This is the spirit of Elijah is supposed to prepare the way for the Messiah. And this is John being told, "You're going to have that boy. This is your son. Miraculous birth is about to take place." "The spirit and power of Elijah to do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Zechariah said to the angel, now this is where you got to think, is he related to Peter? I mean, because he's like, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news." It's like, hey, I'm an angel. I'm giving you great insight into what God's about to do, and you're questioning, how am I going to know this will happen? I mean, seriously, you're speaking to an angel right now. But Zechariah, for whatever reason, doubted. Maybe I would have doubted. Maybe you would have too. I don't know. And so verse 20, "Behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. So something significant's happening. A bunch of people are outside waiting for the report from the priest who's offering sacrifice on behalf of the people. He sees an angel. He can't speak anymore. This is significant. They're noticing, whoa. He kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." All right, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for sharing this story with us. It's actually quite significant. It's very important to understand the calling of John and how he was fulfilling the prophecies that were foretold of the spirit of Elijah preparing the way for you, who is Christ. Lord, I just pray that as we look to this story, we will also be inspired to see what part we play in preparing the people for you as well. May we be witnesses of this great and awesome good news, the salvation of all who are willing to receive. I pray a special blessing on this time as we just trust in you. Help me to speak your words, Lord, and help us all to hear them. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be celebrating Christmas next week. Next Sunday is actually Christmas Day. We're going to talk about Emmanuel, God with us, the Word who became flesh, the glory of the Father revealed. I mean, it's an incredible, significant thing that we're doing, but I would like to talk about the other miracle baby. And so that's why I'm looking at the story of John, because it does go along with the story of Christ. This special family was handpicked by God. Now, when I say that, you may not know the significance of what I'm saying. This special family was handpicked by God to do the miraculous, the amazing. You see, Mary and Elizabeth are related. You know this because you've read the accounts. And so you have a relative of Mary. You also have the understanding that Joseph was not actually the biological father of Jesus. She was a virgin. They had not yet been fully consummated in marriage. They were engaged, but they had not yet been married, and yet she gets pregnant because of the power of God. Joseph and Mary are cousins. Interesting, isn't it? Of a world full of people, God picks this one family to do the significant, the miraculous. And so why was it that Joseph and Mary were chosen? Well, there's a lot of reasons. Some would like to say, well, it's because they're just good people. Well, it's true that they were good people and they were faithful. So obviously God can use them. But they also had to fulfill some significant aspects of the prophecies. There had to be a lineage trace back to King David. That was prophecy. Well, Joseph fulfills that. Even though he's not biologically the father, he is legally the father. And the significance of knowing tradition and how legal aspects of the handing down of generations goes through the man, that was important. So Jesus fulfilled through his father Joseph what was required legally. It's also important to know that Mary was also able to trace her same lineage back to King David. And so she's actually related to Joseph. They figure they're probably not first cousins, but they're definitely at least second cousins. And so you have this relationship already, but they're engaged and they're marrying. And so Mary is also able to fulfill the lineage of Christ through her bloodline, which was required of as well. So you have legal and bloodline, both matching the fulfillment of Christ who is born. But in that understanding, you also have the relative Elizabeth, who is a good friend, apparently, of Mary. And we'll see that as we open up the Word of God. Zechariah's story is interesting. Angel appears to him, reveals the part of God's plan that includes his family. And you would think, as I said, it was enough for the angel to share that this is going to happen, Zechariah. You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. But because he doubted, he was stricken dumb. He couldn't speak. And I find that quite interesting. A preacher that can't speak. How many of you think that's pretty funny? I think it's hilarious. It's great. And so let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35. We'll jump ahead. And we'll read a little bit about what happens with Mary as well. The angel answered Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." So Mary is getting the word from an angel. You're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. She's wondering, how can this happen since I'm a virgin? So the answer comes, as we just read. And then it says here, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son." There's another miracle baby. And this is the sixth month of that she has called of her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. So Mary has just been told, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be a miracle. God's son is going to be in your womb. And she is able to respond, may it be as you have said. You notice the difference between her and Zechariah. How will I know? How many think it would have been funny if she was stricken dumb for... No, we won't go there. So anyway, she doesn't question, and she, of course, is able to speak for 9 months, and no problem, right? And she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So that's where we often end the discussion about Mary's faith. But we're going to read more. If you look at Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 39, where we just left off. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So she hears Elizabeth's pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. Both of these are miracles. And she's like, oh, I got to go check this out myself. I'm going to go visit my relative Elizabeth. So she does. She goes there to see her. She walks into the house, and verse 41 happens. Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? She hears Mary, who is obviously already pregnant by the power of God. So a little bit of time has taken place, but not much. She's only 6 months along now, rather than five. Remember that? And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You are carrying Messiah. You are carrying the Son of God. You are carrying the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are blessed, Mary. And she knew this. Why? Because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God gave her a supernatural wisdom through his power and his glory. And so she shouts this out. And of course, I'm sure Mary was just as well touched by the moment. She says, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Amazing. So the Holy Spirit is now dwelling within this child, John. We talk about Jesus being born without a sinful nature, that he was not carrying on the seed of Adam, which is how sins passed. So he's born sinlessly. And he has the advantage. And he successfully lives his life without sinning. He's 100% God, and yet he's also 100% man, because the egg of Mary was very much flesh. And supernaturally, this conception takes place, and he's born, and he lives his life perfectly without sin. It's amazing to think of that truth and that reality. But let's not move too quickly away from the story of John, who was born with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He was born again before he was born. I mean, think about it. He doesn't know a day in his life without the presence of God within. That's huge. That's significant. We must not look at it too lightly. God equips his servants for the task to which they are called. Why was he filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he is going to prepare the way for the Lord. He is the spirit of Elijah crying out in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. How is this that he was able to live such a life? He was able to do so through the power of God. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. It says in chapter 1, verse 67, if we jump ahead there, as he is sharing his song, his word, his prophecy that's expressed to all the people that are there. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied saying. So he's teaching and expressing what God has done. And we'll get into some of the details in just a moment. In Luke chapter 1, verse 57, we're going to talk about the significance of John's birth and the public display. It's very, very important to realize. The time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. So this is significant. Already, this is making the newspaper of the local community, right? I don't think they had newspapers, but you know, word's getting around. Elizabeth's pregnant. What? In her old age? What, does she think she's Sarah? I don't know. I'm just making it up as I go here. No, she obviously is pregnant and old. That's huge. That's news. So everybody's really happy for her, because even then there was a negativity that surrounded the people that couldn't have children. And so she feels blessed to be able to have this child. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." Now, Zechariah still can't speak. He's the one that has the authority. He is the one that makes this final call, the final decision. He's got the legal obligation to name the child. Elizabeth steps in the way and says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 no, no, no. His name is John." And they're like, "What?" And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. "We don't believe her. What do you say?" And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." I love that. It's not, "His name shall be John." It is John. It's already written. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all the neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" How does that translate? We're going to keep an eye on this kid. That's what's being said. This is a public display, a public prophecy, and a publicly born child. And they watched him grow up. This Holy Spirit dwelt, you could say born again before he's born. You could say baptized in the Holy Spirit, Pentecostal baby. I don't know. You can use all the terms you want. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in this child from his birth. I don't know what that looks like in a child. Does that mean when he was tempted to grab two cookies, when he was told to only grab one, that he listened to the Holy Spirit who was within? "Don't do it, John." "Oh, thank you, Lord. I will only take one." I mean, I was just like battling me. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Yeah! Oh, now I feel bad. John's like, "Oh, yes, Lord? Oh, okay, you're right." Or I remember when the Holy Spirit told me to go shut the horse's water off. You know, the water tank, I had the water turned on. And I said, "Oh, no, I did that already." So me and the Holy Spirit had a conversation, and I won. Problem is, the next morning I woke up, go to school, and I noticed I heard some water running. And I went out to the barn to find out there's a lake in the back area of the barn. Who knew? I guess that's what happens when you leave the water run for 16 hours straight. Holy Spirit was talking to me. I wasn't listening very well. But it was a moment where I learned I can understand and hear him better today. He does speak to you, by the way, as he spoke to John. You are very similar to John because you also have the Holy Spirit within. It's just an amazing story of what's taking place here. Jump ahead to verse 67. I already read that. Let's read verse 68 through 80. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. So he is now able to speak. Everyone that's in the area is listening to the priest that was stricken dumb with the miracle child, whose name is John. None of the relatives has that name. This is really weird. This is significant. This is newsworthy. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. What? Now he's speaking, he's praising God for the Savior, for Messiah, for Christ, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. All of that to say Messiah, Christ, King of Kings, Iron Scepter, Lord of Lords is coming. That's how he opens his mouth. And then he gets to his child that has just been circumcised. And you, child, you, John, will be called the prophet of who? The Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. You are going to be the witness of the Messiah. You're going to prepare the hearts of people to receive the King of Kings. Because of the tender mercies of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then it says, verse 80, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel. John's birth and his calling are known throughout the land. Everybody knew the story. Everybody knew he is the prophet preparing the way for the Lord. Remember what happened with this child? Yeah, tell me, I'm a visitor. I just moved here. You haven't heard the story of John? You haven't heard about how old his parents were when he was conceived and that the father was stricken dumb because he saw an angel and doubted? No, I haven't heard this. Tell me more. Well, and then when the child was born, we were going to name him something else, but John finally got involved and he wrote on a tablet, his name is John. And then he spoke and he prophesied about the prophets and he prophesied about the Messiah. And he said that this child, John, is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. He's like 30 years old now. Certainly the Messiah must be coming soon. By the way, what is John doing these days? Well, you know, he's out there in the water baptizing people, telling them to repent for the kingdom of God is coming. I think I'm going to go get baptized. I need to repent. And so the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the scholars, all the religious leaders, they all gathered around to watch this guy. Because they heard too, this is the one to show us who the Messiah is. The world was ready for Jesus. But they didn't know who he was. This is huge. This is significant. Because unlike John, Jesus wasn't known. The only people that saw him could not point him out in a crowd. The shepherd saw a baby in a manger. They went to a home. They saw the child. They worshiped him, and they went out from there and told everybody, hey, we saw the Messiah. Really? Where is he? He's in Bethlehem, just like the prophets say. That's amazing. Wise men show up, they give some gifts. But you know the story. Herod decides, I'm going to kill that child. He's trying to take my throne. So Mary and Joseph left Bethlehem. They went to Egypt. And when they came back home, they didn't go home. They went to Nazareth. And that's where they raised their family. Can anything come from Nazareth that's good? I mean, seriously, it's such a small little town. It's like Daisy, North Dakota. I mean, it's like a little dirt town. They knock over a sign in 1988, and rather than get a new post that would cost a few bucks, they put the old post back in the ground, and the sign's only 3 feet off the ground to this day. True story. You can go and visit. I'll show you the sign. Hey, I remember when that knocked over my senior year. There it is. Yeah, that's Bethlehem, or that's Nazareth. Tiny little thing. Well, Jesus fulfilled the prophecies in every way imaginable, over 300 prophecies fulfilled, and he was able to be born in Bethlehem, come out of Egypt, and be called a Nazarene. Impossible that one man could do this, and yet he did. And here's the significant part of it. Nobody knew who he was because of that circumstance. But everyone knew who John was. They were paying close attention to John. And the day came when it was time for Jesus to start his ministry. And you know what happened. John is out baptizing people. He's doing that and telling them, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he's telling them they need to get right with God. And then here comes the one whose sandals he's not worthy to even tie, let alone do a baptism. It's Jesus, his cousin. Look. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What? What did you say, John? I said, this is the one. This is the one I've been telling you about. This is the one I'm preparing. This is the Christ. Wow. So awesome. When you put it all together and you see the significance of this family that God has chosen to reveal his salvation. How could Jesus stay hidden for so long? Well, he was just building homes. He's a tecton, a builder. We use the word carpenter incorrectly. It's not wood and lumber. It's stone that they use to build homes. And Joseph obviously was a builder. And Jesus, along with his father, probably built a lot of the homes in the region. But it wasn't his time until it was his time to be known. Now, side note, if you want to write this down, you can. John chapter 1, verse 19 through 27. Everybody's really curious. I mean, they've known this kid their whole life, or his whole life at least. I mean, he was supernatural, divine intervention birth. And then all the things that happened with the father and the prophecies around him. And then he became really strange because he wouldn't drink wine, which everybody drinks wine, but this guy won't drink wine. He doesn't drink any hard drink. And then he runs around in the wilderness and he eats honey and locusts. I mean, he's weird. He wears camel's hair clothing. I mean, the guy is just off his rocker. But God did say he's going to be the one that prepares us for the way of the Lord. The spirit of Elijah is upon him, is what was told. And so they wondered, who is he really? So they asked him, are you Elijah? And then he said, no. Because they thought it was literally Elijah that they were to expect. They thought Elijah, because he went up in a fiery, in a whirlwind, you know, with all the fire, chariot, and all that stuff, he went up in a whirlwind and didn't die, that certainly it will be Elijah that comes. So when they asked him if he was Elijah, he said no. If they would have asked him, are you fulfilling what the prophecies say about the spirit of Elijah? He would have said yes. I believe that. But he says no, even though he is the one that fulfilled that prophecy of the spirit of Elijah. Are you the Christ? No, I'm not. Well, then you must be the prophet. I'm not the prophet. Weird. What people didn't understand is Jesus Christ is both Christ and prophet. So he was known. They speculated that he might be the Christ. He said no. Well, certainly he must be the reincarnated or Elijah come down to earth or something. He said no. He must be the prophet then. He said no. He is John, the baptizer. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Beginning with verse 12. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not heard or believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Here's the significance of what I think we miss during this season. The significance of John and his responsibility to prepare the way for the Lord. As one who was filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his womb, his mother's womb, I should say, being born with the indwelling presence of God, for what purpose? To be a witness of Jesus Christ. And all of us who are followers of God today have the blessed, wonderful, divine intervention experience of being born again with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That we can be called children of God, but we are also called to be his witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through verse 8, there's a significant similarity to our calling through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the calling of John. Boy, I have lots of notes between these pages. It's like 7 or 8 pages. Verse 4 through 8, it says, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father, now I got to go through all those pages, has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God equips those he calls to accomplish the purpose. John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, and he successfully prepared the way for the Lord. The stories have been told traditionally about John baptizing people in large numbers. And the way they did baptism was just a little different than what we have envisioned. He probably didn't put his hands on anyone. He preached the kingdom of God, repentance, and he baptized, and large groups of people would gather around, and he would call them to basically put themselves under the water and come up refreshed and new. And so there would be anywhere from 20 to 100 people at a time, and they would all go under the water, and they'd stand back up, and that was baptism. How did he do that for Jesus? I don't know. I don't know if he put hands on him or not to dunk him down in the water the way we do. But whatever the case, when Jesus was baptized, God spoke from heaven and declared, "This is my son whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended on him, and it looked a little bit like a dove. That's the best way to describe what was seen. They heard the voice like thunder. They heard the words. They saw the Spirit, and Jesus declared as the Son of God. Certainly this is the one that John has prepared us to receive. You and I are filled with the Holy Spirit with the same responsibility to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in all of the land, to prepare the people for what? To hear the Holy Spirit, that they too can find that place of salvation that we have found. You will receive power to be witnesses. You will be equipped for the task at hand. Will you prepare the way for the Lord as well? You cannot save anyone, but you can speak. It's not your responsibility to do the salvation, but it is your responsibility to share the gospel. And as John was filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God to be the witness, to prepare the way for the Lord, so are we filled with the Holy Spirit to prepare the people to hear the word of the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, they're able to receive the blessed, wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." We are given that responsibility to make disciples. Will you join me in that quest? I still believe that we are going to see incredible testimonies of salvation coming from this family of God. But what I don't see happening is that those miraculous moments of salvation are predominantly going to happen here. They're going to happen in your homes. They're going to happen in the grocery store, at the coffee shop, because that's where God's going to meet the people as we become like John, equipped with the Holy Spirit to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as we close? I was thinking about the timetable. Most scholars believe Jesus was actually born around April. That kind of makes me feel good because it would have been really cold in December, right? All that snow. But historically speaking, it was likely around April or March. Some have actually speculated it could have been around the time of Passover, which wouldn't have been far off from that date. And I also figured out, because of that timetable, that's likely John was born around August. So an August baby. Thought that was kind of interesting. Just for fun thoughts, right? There is two miracle babies that we can focus on during this time. I think it's important to remember them both. And to not forget the whole picture, the big story. You know, the animals, all of the side notes of Christmas celebrations, to me, they're sometimes more distracting than beneficial. But I believe that we can bring the truth of the message and still have the fun aspects without harming the gospel. But we need to be Spirit-led. Will you listen to the voice of God? When he whispers and says, "You got to shut the water off for the horses," don't say no. That still small voice, and you're like, "Yeah, that's not really God." It is. I learned my lesson. And I've been attuned more attentive to hearing that voice from that day forward. It's taken time to really understand when he speaks, to understand it more clearly. But you will develop in that ability to hear him if you're willing. And I believe you're going to witness miracles of salvation because you're listening to the voice of God. You are proclaiming the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. You are called very much the same as John was, to prepare the way for him so that he can do the work to save the souls of those we witness to. Would you bow with me in prayer as we pray for that anointing? Lord, we need your anointing. We need to be equipped to do the task at hand. It's an impossible task without your help. It's very possible when we walk with you. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you don't leave us out here in this world as a God who's far away and a great distance between. And we got to just struggle along and hope we do it right. We have you with us always. And as we listen and hear your voice, we are able to be more successful with obedience and to see the miracles take place of saving the souls of those people around us that you bring us to. May we be able to continue the responsibility of sharing the good news. It's a ready-made opportunity during Christmas. It's easy. It's easy during this time. Give us the boldness to share. I pray your anointing to be upon each and every one as we go from this place, empowered from you who is on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next Sunday for a special service at 10 o'clock.